Thank you so much for those sweet words. And I do love my babies at Mobile Christian. If any of you know me or have any grands, nieces, or nephews, I call them all my babies. My hugs I get on my legs. So when I spray my perfume or whatever, I have to spray my legs. So they can tell me I smell good. So I have to spray my legs because I don't get my hugs up here. I get my hugs on my legs. But I am so thankful for the opportunity to be here today, to be asked to speak. That was very thoughtful and heartwarming to me. And, of course, my sister, Kathy, I'm so thankful to have the opportunity to share some information from your book. I thank you so much. You know, I love her so much. I sit behind her, and I have the great opportunity to work with her husband at Mobile Christian. So that is such a treat as well. He keeps me going. But thank you for giving me this opportunity. It actually made me study a little harder on the topic that I will be speaking on today. And I wasn't raised, brought up in the Church of Christ. Actually, I'm the only family member from my family in the Church of Christ. So to have this avenue where all the churches in the area get together is an awesome thing. I think it may be a little taken advantage of. You know, I don't think everyone realized what we have. You know, it's powerful. You know, I think we need to just stop and have a silent moment for everyone to stop and think what we really have. You know, what Brother Black put together for us to see that this is powerful. You know, we should have standing room only at night. And, you know, but sometimes, you know, we get lost in the moment. That's just part of what goes on. But I think we have to take a step back to realize what's happening. And such a reflection person, I always try to reflect on what happens in my day, my personal, professional life, so that I can grow as a woman, as a wife, as a professional woman, and everything. I think, you know, we all need to do that. And I think we need to take a step back for this lectureship to realize what we have. That's just my two cents on that. I'm going to move on. Being one in a broken world. Wow, what a topic. An awesome, awesome topic. We are living in a broken world. We've always lived in a broken world. But how will God use us as women? Our topic, becoming a woman God can use. How can God use us in this broken world? What can we do to help? And what I mean by the word we, I'm referring to us as Christian women, mothers, grandmothers, sisters, aunts, nieces, Christian sisters, friends, neighbors, etc. That's what I mean when I say we. What can we do? We all know there are plenty of things that we can do as women. You know, in today's society, women, we have our plates full. I have three boys. And the term soccer mom is, I am that soccer, whatever you want to call it. You know, I'm living in a gym or on a field or whatever. But if I can take the time for that on a daily basis, I can take the time for God on a daily basis. You know, I sat in Foley at a soccer field Friday, through two games with a massive headache. And you know, on Sunday mornings, when I have those headaches, and my husband said, well, just stay in bed. You know, I have to get on up, because if I can go and sit in the sun at a soccer game, I can go and listen to the Word of God. You know, it's sometimes we have to stop and look at our priorities. There are times when I suffer from chronic migraines. There are times when I can't, when my body just, you know, go when I can't. I probably push myself too much. I go until when I can't go anymore, because I feel I get up and go to work with a headache. I do all those. I don't want to stop and say, well, I'm not going to go to worship God. But, so as Christian, we can use different excuses. But we have to be careful. So today, I want to focus on one way this morning that how we can become a more effective. You all are women of God. And the reason I know that is because you're here this morning. So how can we become more effective? You know that term, effective. We all want to be more effective because we wear so many hats. We do so many things. So I'm going to say become more effective. You know, that's such a nice word. I just like the way it roll off my tongue, effective. You know, so we're going to say become more effective, women of God. How can we do that? It's very simple. It's, you know, it's nothing magnificent that I've come up with or anything, but from my sister's book in chapter 3, I'm going to be coming from chapter 3 from her book, Daring to be Bold. That's what we're going to look at today. Being bold for God, speaking boldly for God, you know, being more bold. So that's what we're going to look at, how we can become more efficient, more effective for God, to become a woman of God. In Acts 4:29, it says, grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Are we bold for Christ? Can other people really tell the difference between us and non-Christians? As I read Kathy's book, I began to study additional women of the Bible a little deeper. And you know, I noticed that in both the Old and the New Testament, there were women who were bold. But you know one thing? That wasn't the norm. As I looked at the timeline, that wasn't the norm for all women. But there were women who were bold, who done bold things. And as I compare myself to those women, I don't have as many sacrifices that I have to do. I don't have the problems that they had to deal with. But they were brave enough to be bold. So think about yourself compared to the women in the Bible. We can sit here and study the Bible without the problems that they had very easily. We can go out and ask someone easily to study the Bible in our house with our husband. But compare with them. We don't have the trials as they had. But yet, they share the love with others. They were being bold for Christ. When I looked in Webster's regarding the word bold, it said, forward to meet danger, venturesome, daring, timorous or shrinking from risk, brave, courageous. Those are powerful words to describe the word bold. Boldness is a quality that is admired by the Lord. Solomon said in Proverbs 28, the righteous are bold as lions. And Paul said, therefore, since we have such hope, we should use great boldness of speech. That's coming from 2 Corinthians 3 and 12. So I'm going to try to share some examples of women that were bold during a time that women were not expected to show boldness. They weren't expected to do this. It was the man's job. But they did it. And hopefully this will help us to be more efficient women that God can use. Let's start. Think about the two unexpected women that were the first to hear of the coming of Jesus, Mary and Elizabeth. If you look in Luke 1:26 through 33, or Luke 1:39 and 45. Let me just read you Luke 1:39 and 45. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greetings of Mary, the baby leaped into her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessing is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Think about that. Can you imagine a time of Mary's life, of her having to explain to people that she was a virgin and now being an expected mother? She had to be bold to tell people about this. Just imagine the questions. Having to explain, listening to the people, what they were saying. When she walk around, people talking. But did that stop her from sharing that? So, and we're afraid sometimes, or uncomfortable, maybe I should say, to share what we know. Well, imagine the uncomfortableness that she had to share, that she was carrying Christ. So when we're uncomfortable to share something, think about what she had to share. And then there's the woman at the well who tells of Jesus in John 4:28-30. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything that I did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of town and made their way toward him. Now, remember, this woman had a bad reputation. She avoided other women by going to the well in the afternoon, while the other women went in the morning. She threw aside any feelings of being uncomfortable. And she went to town and she told them about the Messiah. And because of this, others gathered to Jesus. Now, think about someone with a bad reputation going into town trying to tell them about Jesus. I cannot see you all. But I can see the paper, but when I look at it, I'm sorry. So she had to, I'm sorry, I got way off, but When I looked back there, you all were just a blur. She had spoken. She went to town and tell them that she had spoken to the Messiah. And because others gathered to Jesus. Think about somebody you know that have a bad reputation. And they going into town to tell others that there was a man who told her about everything that she did. She had to be some type of convincing, some kind of way, for them to go back. And then they heard, they had a chance to hear about Jesus. That was boldness on her part. She knew she had a bad reputation. She didn't have to go in town to tell them. That took boldness on her part to go in. She could have kept that information to herself. But that was bold of her to go in. And he already know everything about me. The stuff that you all been talking all this about me, he knows. Come and see for yourself. She could have took that information and been so excited for herself. But she took a chance of them condemning her, saying that she wasn't telling the truth or anything. She took a chance to go share that information. Sometimes we have to step out and take a chance. I don't know how many of you all are on social media, but we have some young sisters out there that are posting some things about what they're drinking or what they're going to drink. I'm not saying to blast them on social media, but you might have to get with somebody they know that are close to them and talk to them. Social media is not a blasting place, but you find out a whole lot what people are doing. We find out how lost some people are. What are we doing? I'm guilty too. Saying to you all, I'm guilty too. I'm so guilty. I mean, when I went through this, it's like, Deborah, you need to do something. So, don't think I'm just talking to you. I'm talking to myself. Ladies, we got some work to do. Mary Magdalene was an amazing example to women on how to be bold for Christ. She was first to go tell the good news that Jesus had risen. What an amazing, devoted, and brave woman she was. She was one of Jesus' followers, and with boldness, she and a group of other women supported Jesus out of their own pocket and went about proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom. Mary followed Jesus to the end of his life, even when his male disciples scattered. She was there. It was she who was brave enough to stay with him until the end. She was even there when he died on the cross. He died, and she was the one who was brave enough to go to the guard's tomb. She was the first to encounter the risen Christ. She ran to Jesus' men and proclaimed the good news that Christ had risen from the dead. Mary was our example. She is our example. We too can fiercely follow Jesus Christ, leading others to him, spreading the good news. Are we complaining when we're always doing this same task in the church? And Sister Sue, Sister Jane, I'm trying to call names that maybe nobody have. That's not helping. Are we complaining? Have we invited them to help? Have we asked them? We're going to be doing this tomorrow. Do you have time to come? Look at all of what Mary did. I don't know if she complained or not, but she still did it. It didn't say she complained. Speak boldly. Go ask. I know I was so timid at one time. I wasn't doing that thing, but I just wanted somebody to ask me to come and to do it. When I was younger, it wasn't that I didn't want to. I didn't know how. I didn't know if they wanted me in there. So it's not always that they don't want to do it. Some are. But sometimes they're just waiting for somebody to show them how to go about it. Show them how to become a woman that God can use. Some of them just don't know. I just didn't know. In Acts 18 and in Romans 16, 3-4, we find Priscilla and the teacher along with her husband committed to Christ. They were kicked out of their hometown for being a Jew. But together, they were bold and risked their lives teaching others about Christ. Priscilla was even hospitable, inviting others into her home to talk about Jesus. I'm guilty. I could do more in inviting in my home instead of having all them teenage boys up in my house. I'm so guilty. I can do more. I know most congregations, I'm not going to say every congregation, but most congregations have those that are come in, that are rush out, that are sitting by themselves. We can have something to invite them over. Get them to becoming, especially the women, and then with our husbands, to get those young men and those women to doing things. Some of them just don't know. Some of them are trying to find their way. We got work to do. This world is broken. We don't want to send them back out there. Please don't let them go back out. Let us remember the Canaanite woman in Matthew 15:21-28. We do not know her name, but she was a real person of Jewish descent, not of Jewish descent. She was a Canaanite. Mark described her as a Greek. She answered Jesus on behalf of her demon-possessed daughter. He initially rejected her, but she boldly refused to take no for an answer. She went on behalf of her daughter. She didn't take no for an answer. You know, when it comes to our children, we can't give up. We got to continue to pray, even when we think that, oh, it's just lost cause. Oh, I know I'm still praying, I'm praying. Oh. We got to keep praying. We can't give up. I pray for mine and others too. Please pray for mine. I need help. You hear the news, you see what's going on. If yours has grown up and do good, pray for mine. Pray for Sally James. If you know Susan Mays doing good, pray for Susan. Sometimes just sending a card to them. And when you see them, don't beat them down. Speak boldly. You know you're not doing right, don't do that. Speak some goodness in them. They know they're not doing right.
When you do that, you're just pushing them a mile further. Satan is so busy with our young people. Ooh. It's scary. It's so scary. I pray for my boys. It's tough. And I work in a school and I see, you know, we have some good ones in there, but Satan try to get them, y'all. We got to help each other. We have to. Got to speak boldly. But we have to speak boldly the right thing. If you speak the wrong thing, you're going to do, you're just harming them. In Mark 5, 24 through 34, there is mention of a nameless woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. Ladies, 12 years? Ooh. Y'all know just the time we have to go through for a week. 12 years. Wow. Her continual bleeding rendered her ceremonial unclean according to the Jewish laws. She sought out doctors, but no one was able to help her. She was an outcast among the people, her friends, her family. She did not intend to actually speak to Jesus. Her faith was so great. She believed in the mere touching of the edge of his clothing. Just the touch of his clothing would heal her. Her plan was to do so unnoticed. She didn't want to be noticed. She didn't go in screaming, yelling. She was trying to do it unnoticed. Just to touch the hem of that garment. I don't know. Been bleeding 12 years. It's been pretty tough. But her faith, that faith she had, the boldness in her faith. And Christ noticed the touch. He noticed the touch, and her determination moved him to heal her miraculously. You know, she could have easily used that as an excuse. That could, and it would have been a great excuse. She took a bold chance to just get close enough. She didn't want to make a scene. She just felt that she could just get in there and touch his garment. That was bold on her. But she had that faith. She can just touch the garment of him. Didn't want to cause a scene. That's what I look at the part of that. She didn't want to cause a scene. She didn't want to be noticed. But she was trying to do it unnoticed. In Luke 18, 1 through 8, we see the persistent widow. The Lord tells of a widow who continued to approach a judge about a concern she had with another person. The judge is described as uncaring and indifferent toward men and toward God. But the woman was bold in her persistent attempts to seek the judge. She dared to take a risk for her cause, although he repeatedly refused to hear her pleas. At last, because of her persistence, he granted her request. Persistence, being bold. I'm so glad that the lady who babysitted for my oldest son
was persistent in inviting me to church. She was persistent. She continued to ask me to go to church with her. And I was like, okay. All right. And I was like, Gwenda, let's go to church with this woman. She keeps on nagging me. Every time I pick up Brenda Jr., she's asking me to go to church with her. I said, I don't want to be rude. Let's just go. Oh, and I'm so thankful she didn't give up on me. I'm so thankful. She could have given up on me. There's a possibility I could still be lost. But she was persistent. With a smile. And we went to church. And then guess what she did? Wester came around. You coming to Bible class? And went to Bible class and had a study. And wow, it went from there. I'm so thankful she was persistent. Sometimes we got to be persistent. Even though it's uncomfortable, keep asking. And I have to remember that because she was persistent with me. And it was annoying. And I was like, let's just go. Because she's going to keep asking. And oh, I'm so thankful and so grateful. Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. What a blessing. I'm so thankful. So sometimes we got to be persistent. Just never know what's going to come out of it. I'm a believer in that. Our society professes to have this air about Christian values, especially in today's time. Yet, most average citizens are lacking the true biblical knowledge. In many homes, Bible is there. But is it studied every day? Is it studied in depth? No. But it's there for when you walk in and you see that the Bible is out. And you know. Sad, but I'm going to say it. Sister, I'm so glad you put this in your book. Churches aren't teaching they're teaching this light. They aren't teaching, you know, they're teaching, how she said it, emphasizing love of Christ, and which is good, we should, without encouraging any real in-depth study of God's word to make changes in our life. We got to get back to some basics, some deep stuff. We got some things creeping in the church now that's just and sisters, you're going to be uncomfortable, but you got to say, the Bible doesn't say. Now, she didn't have this in her book, this me. That's not, according to the Bible, that's not right. We got to stop, you know, hushing up and then, after everything gone, we go say, now you know that wasn't right, telling, you know. We got to speak up a little bit, you know. We got to be bold and say, well, according to the Bible, now did I read that wrong? What did that say? Did I read that wrong on there? Did that say that? We're letting too much sneak in the church. This month, this sneaking in. 5 months later, this sneaking in. Then when we look back, is that church Christ? And it's not biblical. But it's okay because of the culture we're living in today. No, the Bible didn't change. Culture's changing. We got to speak boldly and speak where the Bible is speaking. Yes, the culture is changing, but the Bible and God's Word is not changing. We got to be boldly on that. Flip those pages in that Bible and find it there. If it's not there, leave it alone. It may be pretty. You may be able to use all these nice words with it, but if it's not right, it's not right. That's Deborah Curry, not Kathy Kimball. Boldness is needed so that others can learn the truth and to help them to differentiate from the partial truth and the whole truth. And that's where the problem lies. When we let it sneak in, you have the partial truth and the whole truth. We often encounter occasion when there's ones who's willing to do the right thing and there's some that's not. Our younger Christians, the younger ones both in age and Christian maturity, often surprise when fellow Christians beat around the bush rather than speak the truth in love. Sometimes they embrace compromise instead of standing for what is right. Whether young or old, when situations become questionable, it takes boldness to be the only one to take a stand. Those women that I just talked about, it took boldness for them to do the things that they did. Whether uncomfortable or not, it took boldness. We're not born with boldness, Gene. Boldness must be developed. There was a time I wouldn't be able to stand up here. But over the years, I've grown. There was a time I just sat in the back and I wouldn't do anything. I wouldn't help with anything. But over time, I've grown. Same thing with boldness. It has to be developed. In Psalms 68 and 11, the Lord announces the word, and the women who proclaim it are mighty and throng. In Proverbs 31 and 30, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Let's go to our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Father, for giving us the opportunity to study your word, to learn how we can be more bold in speaking about you, how we can become one in this broken world. Give us the strength to have the courage, the boldness to stand firm on your word, even when others or against us. Thank you for this opportunity for these ladies to come together today. Be with us and guide us. These and many other blessings we do ask in our Son Jesus' name. Amen.